Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, when we were in Israel, and when you think about going to Israel, you're thinking about, you know, this is going to be a holy moment.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're going to step off the plane in Tel Aviv, you know, and we're going to, angels are just going to just start singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, right?
It's just,
it's all these fantasies, you know, of what it's going to be like, because you're in the land of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you, no matter what anybody says, you know, take some time to go to Israel and be there, because you'll have all of eternity to either remember that you did it or regret that you didn't do it, you know. And their money's made off tourism.
Yeah.
You know, and so by going there, and you'll really love it. You know, first of all, read your Bible. So when you're at places, you can actually ponder that and just meditate on it, and it just becomes even that much more real to you. And so we get there, and it's beautiful. It's different, you know, and but yet it's similar, you know, because it is, you know, same form of government. And then you find out, I said, oh my goodness, five times a day. There's like all these religions here. I mean, what about Judaism? What about the Jews? This is the Jews' land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have, you know, Muslims here, you have Hindus here, you have Buddhists here, you have all these different religions that are here.
Mm-hmm.
And but the biggest thing that you hear when you're there, you know, is the Islamic call to prayer. And five times a day, they have a call to prayer where they call Muslims to come and pray at the temple. And they do this wherever there's a mosque. You're going to find, you know, this sound come out, and you'll have somebody who's personally on a microphone, and they're singing a call to prayer. And you're not gonna believe this, Pat. When I was looking around, and I saw where they called, were calling prayer, a church, an America, a supposedly a Christian church, with bishops and probably look at some sort of unity service or something, were there. They had somebody come in from Islam and sing the call to prayer.
And
of course, they're singing it in Arabic. You know, Americans are pretty much known for not speaking anything other than English.
Right.
You know, not all Americans, most Americans. Mm-hmm. And we need to speak more languages than that we do speak. But the question is, what is actually being said? And so they're in the presence of the church, which are believers.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership appears to have brought in this well-known call to prayer singer for the Islamic prayer that happens five times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's singing the prayer. And this is what the words are. Let me give you the interpretation of the call to prayer. If you're thinking it's okay to have a temple in your community, if you think it's no big deal, well, five times a day, this is what's going to be broadcasted over you. You know, and I say this for the reason is that understanding Islam is not about, it's not a democracy. It's not a republic. It is a caliphate. A theocracy, that their ultimate goal is a caliphate. And a caliphate means everybody is under the Islamic law. They're under the Quran. They believe that's their ultimate goal. Versus a Christian is that the kingdom of God is in our heart, and God dwells in us, you know, and that we live in the culture that we're at. We live in the kingdoms that we're at, but in our heart, we have the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different. You know, man's religion is trying to have kingdom here on earth, and God's relationship is about having his kingdom in our hearts. You know, seek first the kingdom of God. No, you're not that you're the temple of God. And so this is what they sing. So when you hear them sing these songs, it's a call to prayer. And we may talk more about this. And I'm saying this because here we got to Israel, you know, and you're about to, you know, Where did Jesus walk, and where's the, you know, the walk of the cross and all these different things? And this is the words, if you want to hear the English version of it. They sing, and he goes, I bear witness that Muhammad at least the beginning of it. This is the first part of it. God is great. And that's when you hear Allah Akbar,
mm-hmm.
right? Allah Akbar. That means God is great.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hear, I bear witness that there is no God except the one God, which denies the Trinity. If you're trying to compare the two, there is no comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can call a stick God, you know what I'm saying? And then the next part of the prayer is, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. So he's saying, just like the Mormons said that Joseph is the prophet of God.
Mm-hmm.
Islam's saying that Muhammad is the prophet of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Muhammad says that Jesus is not the son of God.
Right.
And says that he'll have to come back and repent for it. Muhammad says that the Quran is Muhammad's writings, and he says that the Jews should be destroyed and pushed into the sea, and that it will not be satisfied until a rock cries out and says, "There's a Jew under me, come and kill him."
Mm-hmm.
Come on, church, come on! You're bringing this into the presence of the believers. Have we gotten that far now?
Wow.
And that's why, you know, you think about, well, how come it's totally different? I mean, there's freedom of religion in America. Yeah, it's freedom of religion as long as you don't suppress somebody else's faith or rights. And if a caliphate says this, that, you know, that America is supposed to submit to the Islamic law. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that ain't going to work. The Constitution has to submit and adapt to the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which denies Jesus. Hello, end of America. That'd be the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's not that a Muslim can't be in America, anywhere in the world. It's the fact that if you're telling us that a caliphate, you know, an Islamic rule, you know, either, you know, convert or die or be put in servitude, if that's the only options, and we can't live together under a constitution that says that you're supposed to have sworn that you will have allegiance to this, that you will defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic. And you should not be an enemy of this constitution, because to be a citizen, you have to swear an allegiance to that. And if you hadn't seen that yet, you know, go to the VFNTV blog and look under I swear, or maybe it's even on your highlights as well, but you have it written out on the VFNTV blog. Go to VFNTV.com and look and just search in the blog for I swear or oath. OATH, oaths of office, and oaths. And so when you become a citizen, you swear an oath to the Constitution that you will protect the Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic, and that you will break free from all potentates, kings, and anybody else, because I am an American now.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever I am, you know, I submit to the U.S. Constitution. That's why we just had the Supreme Court just make a ruling on health care. And what we're supposed to do is go, well, that's the Supreme Court. That was our legislature that made the law. You know, but all of that would say in regards to Islam is like, well, it doesn't matter what they said, because they need to submit to Islam
mm-hmm.
and to Muhammad.
Right.
You know, and so I'm going on with the prayer here. This is the call to prayer five times a day. We get out of the plane. And as we're going to the Western Wall, we're going where the temple was, we're going where Jesus was, we're going where Peter lived, and five times a day, we're hearing this eerie sound echoing out of these towers, you know, this call to prayer to all the Muslims, you know, and this is what the enemy wants in America.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he wants. And that's why when there is some sort of Al-Qaeda, some sort of Hamas, some sort of Islamic conquering, they build a mosque there. Why? Because they're going to set up a tower, and every single day, five times a day, they're going to say, Jesus is not Lord.
Right.
And Satan's saying, I rule this place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on. And so do you really want that in your neighborhood? And so then, again, you know, they say, you know, at the point where I just left off, the call to prayer goes on further. It says, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God, the prophet of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is totally not true. And then he says, hurry to prayer. or rise up to prayer, depending on what time it is. And then he says, hurry to success. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how, just like we talked about in the first hour, that the enemy always guarantees you success? You want, so many people sell out to success. So many people sell out. And there's a group right now, and I don't even know this to be true. I just know what the Lord laid on my heart. But I remember, you know, and I'm going to talk more about this because in the future. But I saw this program called Britain. I think Britain's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. And there was these young boys that were put together as a music group. And when they finally made it to a certain point, they had them come out, sing on the stage, and each of them had blood on their cheek, a little bit of blood on their cheek. And the only thing I could think was this. Did they just offer these boys up so that they could have power and their gifts could be turned over to the adversary? I don't know, but the whole thing is a prostituted gift. Mm-hmm. And now they're popular all over the world. Wow. And I got to find that. I got to find that, you know. And sometimes this happens to people who just don't know. And it's for the church, for us to rise up and say, dude, they're prostituting your gift, and he just sacrificed you to his God. And they have all these small, you know, young boys, I guess, maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to name their group, you know, but had blood on their cheek. And I'm thinking, how awkward is that? And then all of a sudden it just touched my spirit that they were just for the power. You know, I just heard yesterday somebody, they promised everything to Satan if they would just, if he would give them power and give them success. Mm-hmm. And so what does he say? He says in the call to prayer every single day, five times a day, he says, hurry to success. And the next part, he says, Allah Akbar again, which is God is great. And the next part of it is there is no God except the one God, which is denying the Trinity. Mm. And for the pre-dawn prayer, the phrase is used, prayer is better than sleep. So, you know, the Lord never slumbers or sleeps. He's always over us. And, you know, you're seeing the church rise up today in prayer, 24-hour prayer, you know. But, you know, the adversary understands how God's created us better than we understand. It matters what somebody's saying over you. Right. You know, we need to understand the language. I mean, if your kids came into your house every day, you know, no matter if they're 8 years old or 10 years old, and they looked at you five times a day and said, you are not my father, you are not my mother, and whatever. Mm-hmm. You would be totally upset.
Yeah.
You'd be totally upset. You know, or you're a liar, you know, and that kind of stuff. That would never happen in home.
Right.
And so, well, this is God our Father. And these Islamic mosques that are popping up around the country, you know, are having call to prayer five times a day. And that sound you're hearing echoed out in Arabic, you know, that you have to understand what they're saying. They're saying they're denying Jesus as Lord. They're saying that their God, which is not God, is God.
Right.
And you can have success when you go their way. But five times a day. And so we got off that plane. We're going to all these points. We're going to these different places. And all you could hear five times a day is that Arabic squeal sound that you could not the entire. I'm gonna tell you what Israel's like. This is what Israel's like, and we'll put it up and make it available to you on the VFN TV blog just so you can hear it. Because somebody's sitting there with their camera, and you're looking at the Western Wall, you're looking where the Temple Mount, and all you can hear is that particular call to prayer that's saying there is no God but Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. That Muhammad is his prophet every day, five times a day.
Right.
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy.
And so, and there's mosques right now in America that, and you can find out more about this, as a matter of fact. If you're a VFN TV subscriber, you can subscribe for free at VFNTV.com and listen to America, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. Listen to that. You'll see things. You'll be so surprised. You'll see the strategy of the adversary. You will see statistics that show you very, very specifically what's taking place in America and how the church has to rise up. And, you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But if you shrink back of fear and you think, oh, I want to save my life, I want to save my stuff, I don't want to go tell people about Jesus, you know, then, you know, don't think that, you know, water will fill the room. It just, if it, the, the void will be filled by darkness. You have to be active. You have to be involved. And in that mosque going up at 9/11, where Ground Zero is, you know, when I was there with the Freedom Tower and I was looking, they want that mosque to go up there because they want to shout every single day after their plans was radical Islam's plans was to destroy the trade of America and killed our, you know, three thousand, you know, of the Americans and with the planes into the towers. And now they want to be able to put a mosque there that has a speaker 5 times a day. That means 35 times a week, you know, 5 times 365. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. But think about that. 5 times a day for 365 days of year, hearing about what is not true. It's just not true. We have to stand up and be bold again. Listen, you know, God can deliver us from the fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we're going to face him in the end. And we have to answer for the very fact of what, you know, what we did with it. It's 1,825 times a year. They're going to say, you know, Allah is the only God, that his prophet is Muhammad, and come for success.
Wow.
Think about that. How many times was that?
1,825 times.
1,825 times. Could you think of it? We have to wake up. So all of Israel now, all of Israel echoes with this. Listen, don't worry about it. Do something about it. You know, if your freedom breaks my leg, that's not freedom. That's what one of our founding fathers said. We'll talk more about that. You know, your freedom, as long as you don't steal from me or break my leg, yeah, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson, but I'll have to do some research on all that because I got so many of them scrambled in my brain now, that's fine. But, you know, when you're suppressing, when your very existence of Islam says that I have to actually convert, enter into servitude,
right,
or die, that you cannot submit to the Declaration of Independence, not to the U.S. Constitution, well, it's not, find a different country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this country's not for you because we all have to swear allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the right, the freedom to worship God ever how you want to.
Right.
But you can't force other people to worship your God. And besides, as a Christian, you know that, you know, you can't force people to love God. You have to introduce them to the opportunity and his awesomeness and show them with your own life who he is. And they have to actually choose. Nobody can choose for you. And right now we're facing something really huge. I mean, we've had some things that we're going to be sharing with you about, but we've seen God has shown some of us dreams and visions. And we've seen in the basement of the White House where a covenant was being made with Islam.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it.
Right.
You know, we'll be talking about that. And I've sat across the table from people that I love and people that claim to be believers in Jesus Christ. They say, oh, there's just another way to God.
Mm.
It's just another way to God. It's all the same God. Just like we talked about yesterday, it's all the same Jesus.
Right.
We just found out yesterday it's not all the same Jesus,
no.
Right? And now we're understanding. We need to begin to understand. We'll talk more about that. And you can find out in detail by listening to Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. It'll give you a perspective. And you'll be blown away that the Arab Spring is really an Islamic spring. It's a Muslim Brotherhood spring. And we were very instrumental. Our leadership was very instrumental in bringing that to pass. And you'll find out more about that. You'll actually hear with his very own words, with his very own words, looking at, and we'll show you a speech given in Cairo, where our president, who we pray for, and he invited the Muslim Brotherhood to that university, Cairo University, eight of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the president wasn't invited, the president of Egypt. And the reason why I would assume is because the president banned the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we're partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood. We are partnering with what every nation, you can find out more about this. Like I said, listening to Christianity, Islam, you know, America and Israel. But listen, we actually partnered with our leadership partnered with the Muslim Brotherhood, called them a non-religious group. And that empowered them in Egypt. And so what you're seeing now, the very president who was president in Egypt at that one moment is now in prison, supposedly facing death. He had a mysterious fall
right. The
day that somebody in the Muslim Brotherhood got elected president. I mean, think about it. In the first 3 years of our president's term, in Indonesia, you know, he was part of when he lived there with his mother and his stepfather. Mm-hmm. According to his book, because we're finding a lot of different things are not true.
Right.
Well, you know what he says is that he was part of, you know, Islamic culture there, which is a strong Islamic culture, mm-hmm. and went to the schools and you know and built a lot of relationships. But he went there very specifically. It looks like to change the narrative, the American narrative, in regards to how we see Islam, and it is because it even has a link I think on there that you can find out, you know, read every word of the speech, he says it's my job. This is what he said. This is what our president said. The president swore an oath that I will protect and defend the United States Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. Now the Muslim Brotherhood is for a caliphate.
Mm-hmm.
Islam is for a caliphate, which is against the Constitution.
Right.
In addition, he swore to protect our borders. That's what the president does.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's actually doing and so this is what he says. And this is, to the best of my knowledge, and you can find that in there, the actual speech is there. But he says, I consider it my job, my responsibility, to wherever Islam's misrepresented, to go correct the matter. I'm being nice. I can't remember what it was, but I forget what it was. I consider it my job as the president of the United States, who swore to protect and defend the United States Constitution, which says, and as an individual, he can. I mean, but as the president, that's what you're supposed to be doing, right?
That's right.
And he considers it his job, to go and confront any negative stereotypes of Islam.
Right.
No. Now, as an individual, that might be your job.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom, you do whatever. But as the president of the United States, your job is to protect our borders from enemies, foreign and domestic, which is we're having real difficulty in that right now. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And to protect us and defend us or defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's the one part of the job that seems like everybody's forgetting there. And they're there. Everybody's there because of the U.S. Constitution. That was the original intent of it. And so, you know, for whatever reason, I can't wrap my brain around it, but I can wrap my heart around it. It just looks like to me that God is turning America over. Because the church has turned its back on him,
mm-hmm.
which means we can turn our face back to God. We can repent. Just because we're religious don't mean we're in right relationship with God.
That's right.
You know, we got to do what he says. We don't want to be hear-hears and do-dos. We want to be hear-dos, right?
That's right.
And you can find out more about that on your highlights. But we're supposed to be a doer of the word and obeying him. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. This is not happening by accident. Nothing slipped up on God. God is always in control, but you, and we feel like this. This is how most of us are, you know, that we think if we take something away from you, then we'll change you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, please don't do drugs. Oh my goodness, don't do drugs. Or, you know, don't go squander your money or don't. And this is what God says. You want birds? You want quail? You want drugs?
All right.
You want Islam? Is that what you want? He says, I'll give it to you. This is what he said to Israel about the quail, because they were craving the foods of Egypt when God delivered them out of there. He says, I'll give you so much of the stuff that you want other than me,
mm-hmm.
till it's coming out your nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're looking at everything. I mean, if you look, if you just look and see, like Solomon says, I looked through the lattice work and observed. If you just look around, things that the church in the name of God has demanded that this is how it is, which is setting aside God's commands for man's traditions. It's all escalating. Mm-hmm. It's all escalating. Marriage, family, the way church should be, leaders, all the diverse gods, all these different things. Well, there it is. Mm-hmm. There it is, you know. And they have called Chrislam today, where they're mixing, as if you could mix oil and water. Right. They're trying to mix Islam and Christianity, which is, you just can't happen. And here we are right now. And he says, and God says, and this is what we do. We want to just take people. Oh, no, you're going to hurt yourself with that. You know, and you'd be surprised if you just kind of let them touch the fire. They'll only touch it once.
Yeah, that's why he turns us over to it.
Yeah. Yeah. He does exactly what he does. And we're about to be turned over. This is how John Paul Jackson said it. You're going to get what you ask for, but you're not going to like what you get. Mm-hmm. We need to start asking for the right stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
And this is what he says. While he gave them everything they wanted, he said, while the meat was in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. Mm-hmm. So think about it. Do you really want, you know, 50, I think there's 200, I don't know how many, as you find out by listening to that at VFNTV.com. But do you want a mosque in every single state? In every single county, in every single city, echoing on the walls of your houses and your businesses, just like happened when we got off the plane in Israel and walked to all the places where Jesus walked and where his disciples walked, crying out, Ali Akbar, you know, that there's only one God and that his prophet is Muhammad and his book. You know what they're saying with that? They're saying the book he wrote, which is, he wrote the book of the Quran. Mm-hmm. And Joseph wrote the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. You know, no different. And so in that, understanding that's why, you know, as long as your freedom does not steal from me or break my leg or stop my rights, if your very thing that you demand affects my constitutional rights, then you can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, as Christians, we're just supposed to express ourselves. You know, as Americans, we can say, you know, who we would like to be able to support, you know, we can get behind candidates, you know, but ultimately, you know, when things get it and their leadership gets there, we're just saying, okay, we're going to follow this leadership. This is how it's going to go. And we're not forcing anybody to do anything. I mean, you can't do that. You could force people to do something, but it's not going to change them and God's not going to accept it, right. You know? And so, wow. Was that not wild to hear all of those mm-hmm. calls to prayer?
That was eerie.
It was very eerie, but think about it. That's what's going up. That's what they wanted to put right there at where our 3,000 plus Americans and firefighters and men and women who just went to work that day just to go to work, that they died in the ashes of the towers. And now they want to begin to shout praises to their God mm-hmm. and deny Jesus Christ. It matters. We cannot continue to do this. At the same time, the same spirit is attacking the word of God and the knowledge of God in America, wanting to pull down Jesus' name off of everything. Anything that refers to Jesus Christ, such as the crosses they're trying to pull down, they're suing. The ASLU is suing to take crosses down. You know, the Ten Commandments are being pulled down. But, you know, you have so many Christians crying about the Ten Commandments being pulled down. It's like, do you even know them? Mm-hmm. And if you know them, are they valuable? Do you honor them? Right. You know, the type of thing. And so it's just so important. I want to just encourage you. You know, it totally messed the paradigm up when we got in Israel mm-hmm. that, you know, the adversary had put a clamp down on Israel, and they're shouting. They're saying, like, fine, you're not going to give us Jerusalem. Then we'll just declare over Jerusalem, over the Galilee, over Tel Aviv, over all of Israel that your God's not God, that our God is God, and that Muhammad, who says you should be pushed into the sea, who says our job's not finished till a rock cries out and says, there's a Jew under me, come and kill him.
Right.
I mean, what's wrong with anybody that would accept something like that? And at the same time, you know, just say, listen, that's against God. It's against Jesus. I mean, obviously, we're not going to you know, physically, you know, force a situation, but we're going to pray and repent. If my people who are called by my name, and this is like a storm, this is like a storm being fashioned against America, and they're just being used in this blueprint of the storm. And it's he's not trying to keep us from it. He will just give it to us till it's coming out of our nose, yep, till we cry out and go, Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm. Lord, have mercy on America. We'll be right back. You know, here we were talking about, you know, coming into Israel and, you know, all your fantasies are just, you're just hit like a bug in the windshield with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when there's truth, that the enemy's going to come in and bombard you with lies.
Mm.
So if you don't know the truth and you proclaim to know it, I mean, as soon as the enemy adversary sees you about to buy into truth,
mm-hmm,
and you're not going to get discipled or get rightly related, I mean, it's going to be tough for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a chance of having to fall on the way. So here's what we heard. I'm actually going to play a video we're going to make available to you. This is right there in the old city, city of Jerusalem. And they are, you know, playing, recording the scenery and all this. And then all of a sudden, you're going to hear exactly what I've been talking about. Listen up.
Say for argument's sake that this is the temple.
Where are they coming from?
Why is the temple there?
Cameras panning around all the old city, the Eastern Gate, Bethlehem. This is what you're hearing. This is what you're hearing. Think about it. Is that what you want your Manhattan to be like? Is that what you want? You want a mosque right there in Manhattan making the decoration? What's the decoration that's being made? Allah Akbar, which says, great is God. I bear witness that there is no God except the one God, which is not our God. Jesus mm-hmm. is God. I bear witness that Muhammad is the prophet of Allah, mm-hmm. which means he's the one that wrote the Quran, which denies the Godhead, denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Hurry up to prayer or rise up to prayer. Hurry to success or rise up for salvation. Ali Akbar, great is God. There is no God except the one God. For in the pre-dawn prayer is that prayer is better than sleep.
Mm.
And it's over and over. That you're just hearing what the backdrop sounds like where the city of David's at.
Mm.
You know, where all that you're reading in your Bible, what's taking place in Jerusalem. The battle over the Temple Mount where, you know, Abraham laid Isaac on the altar. You know, where all these awesome things took place, where God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, where the Dome of the Rock is. The Dome of the Rock is a dome over the rock that supposedly Abraham offered Isaac on. But Islam has that. The Muslims are the ones that have that area, the top of the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the enemy's always going to try to do. He's going to try to take the air. You know, Israel. Satan's called the prince of the air.
Mm-hmm.
He's always fighting for the airways.
Right.
And right now, you know, because of what's happening, he doesn't have those kind of controls over what's taking place over the new Wild West called, the internet.
Mm.
And so we're able to do this because we're able to that kind of access out there. And it's, they're trying to regulate it. They're doing the best they can. We don't know how long, you know, we'll have before that actually begins to happen to that point. But understand that's Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've ever been to Manhattan before, if you have, if you actually have a mosque, and it was a mosque that was going to have a gym, It was going to have all these different things in it, you know, to help people out. Then if you do that, and at the top of it, you have this loudspeaker that five times a day, that statement goes out right where the strategy of radical Islam was to destroy, you know, kill Americans and destroy the American economy, then they're going to be echoing through all of Manhattan because it's all a rock. And Manhattan's a rock. It's got all these buildings. So every single day they would be denying Jesus Christ in the airways over the city.
Right.
Every day. Mm-hmm. And if you have a mosque going up in your community, in your city, by your business, realize this, that if it was a religion that did not, if it had allegiance to the U.S. Constitution, you know, if it was a religion that would not, you know, rob you of your relationship, try to rob you of your relationship and your free worship to God, you know, that's doable. But if the very goal of it is a caliphate for everybody to either convert, be enslaved, or to be dead, mm-hmm. who doesn't? If your goal is to destroy the Jews, you know, that's totally, we can't partner with that. And besides, when you became an American citizen, you've got to go to the oath. As a matter of fact, I want to pull that up here while I'm talking. You got to see this on the VFN TV blog. It is so important. Pat, can you pull that up for me? But there's an oath of office, or for citizens take, and in it that you swear an allegiance to the U.S. Constitution. Well, first of all, you need to know it, right?
Right.
But as a citizen, our president swears an oath to protect the Constitution. This is why it's locked down under so much major security. From enemies, foreign, domestic, the Congress does it, the Senate does it, the judiciary branch does it. That's why I just recently had to find out if that law was constitutional or not. But when you become an American citizen, this is the oath of office that you have to swear. Even our soldiers, when they're fighting, they swear that they'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. But this is what the oath, for everybody in America who says, I'm an American citizen, you know, when they came to America, and we all came from some other land, so everybody, you know, we should be totally open to people joining us, mm-hmm. but you got to join us.
All right.
You know, don't destroy us. Join us. Don't be an enemy of what holds us together, our Constitution, and under God. Mm-hmm. And so this is what you swear. They hold everybody. I don't care who they are, what nationality they came from. You know, what ethnic group, what religion they are. You know, when they came to America, and if they became a citizen, they held their right hand up and they swore this. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and adjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or a citizen. In other words, I'm not carrying that baggage with me. I let it all go. My allegiance is to the Constitution. And they go on to say, then I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And it goes on and it says, so help me God.
Mm.
So it's not wrong for you as an American to say, you need to submit this to the Constitution. We need to find out if this is constitutionally correct. If your rights take away my rights, then those rights are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you say your freedom represses me, and there is history in America where people repressed other people, but it was the Constitution and the grace of God and the church, some of the church, you know, some of the church was in bondage in their mindsets and they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of the church who were abolitionists and who agreed with that, it was the Constitution and the argument before the Constitution that said this is wrong, and everything adjusted to what's right because people were being oppressed.
Right.
Well, right now, read the Quran. You know, we're not reading. You know, prior probably to hearing the broadcast, and if you hadn't heard it, you need to hear it. You know, the question is, you know, is this Jesus that Mormonism that they talk about, is it the same Jesus? Because Paul warned us about another Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you have to understand, does the Quran that Muhammad wrote, the Bible that they wrote, the Quran, is there like the Mormon has, the Mormon Bible, it was written by Joseph Smith, which corrects, you know, unquote, the Bible, you know, he says. Then you have the Quran that was written by Muhammad, which they don't believe in the New Testament. They don't believe in Jesus. I mean, they believe Jesus is the Son of God, and it's the opposite. If you read what's going to happen in the end days, they believe the opposite.
Yep.
Just it's the antithesis. And you will find this out if you listen to, you know, America, Christianity, Islam, and Israel, because your eyes will be totally open. And the thing is that we're in America, we say, hey, you know, if that's what you're going to do, that's totally fine. We're not going to force you. Anyway, you couldn't be forced to worship God anyway and accept Jesus Christ. But your freedom, what you're doing, cannot affect my constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That's right.
And so, you know, if in fact, you know, your goal and your plan, your vision, as we talked about in the first hour, is to have America serve under the caliphate. And that's what's happening with this Arab Spring, as the Muslim Brotherhood is taking over leadership roles. It's actually, that's what's going on. The people are just, you know, stuck in this fight of power, that which our president went to Cairo, his first international speech, and said, I consider it my job to anywhere in the world that a negative stereotype of Islam is being said, to fix it,
right,
to make it right or whatever. Mm-hmm. And which is an individual, that's cool, he can do it, that's totally fine. But as the president, no, your job is to protect the Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. And everybody that came here swore an oath to actually do the very same thing, which means this, that if that mosque is being set up, and their goal is to repress you, their goal is to convert you, put you in servitude, or till the rots cry out and say, here's the last one, take them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you sit silent while people who claim to be following the same Quran that you're following, and you're an American, you're sitting silent and you're not saying, you know, you can't do that to America. You cannot do that. That is totally wrong. And, you know, I think it was Dr. Martin Luther King that said, you know, something like true evil is when good men do nothing, you know, something like that. Wow. I got to find that quote. But he's basically said, you know, just because you know it's wrong and you're doing nothing about it, and that's evil.
Right.
But if you know it's wrong and you do something about it, that's good.
Right.
And it's not the fact that the First Amendment doesn't apply to everybody, but if the First Amendment, if the God that you're serving says that you have to oppress and build a theocracy, which means, you know, the president that we elect would not be over America, but that Muhammad and his prophets would be over it, you know, and the Muslim Brotherhood would be over it. And so, long story short, this, that the very first thing to happen in our president's international speeches, he went to Cairo, Egypt. He invited in the Muslim Brotherhood, who were banned, and they were banned from being in Egypt and banned from these different nations because they've done horrific things. They've been identified with these deaths of leaders and just bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The president of Egypt wasn't there. The Muslim Brotherhood was there, and if you listen to the speech in the context of that, you'll see he was rebuilding the narrative for Islam. He was rebuilding the narrative for the Muslim Brotherhood. His beliefs, it looks like, based on what he said, that he believes that the Muslim Brotherhood will be better leaders over the Arab nations than the presidents that were there and the leaders that were there. And soon, watch, you'll watch the very same thing take place with the kings. They've already done away with the dictators. They went to Libya and did it. Our president partnered with that whole aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
We partnered with our leaders, I'm talking about, with Egypt to bring in the Muslim Brotherhood there. Now they had their first Muslim president of Egypt. And here we are. There it is.
All right.
And but yeah, Iran cried out and wrote a letter to our president and said, but they're under Islamic law.
Mm-hmm.
They're already under all that.
Right.
And he did not do any, he did not lift a finger to help them. And that was the moment. That was the moment that was going to help Israel, was when we actually would have partnered with the people who are going to have a legitimate, you know, topple of an oppressive regime, that allowed the people a true republic, a true democracy, a republic, representative government. And our president did nothing. He even said he hadn't heard from him while that was going on. And the truth was, he had a letter sitting in his office that was written to them from the Green Party or something like that in Iran. They were saying, listen, basically it said something to the nature of, you know, if any of our listeners are listening, you're hearing it, you know, send us a copy of the letter. I'm sure it's online somewhere. But they said, listen, all these years you said this is what you wanted, America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we are. Come and stand with us.
Right.
And they invited us in to stand. Now, we showed up in Egypt. Mm-hmm. We even started it.
Yeah.
We showed up in Libya. We're showing up in all these different places. But we didn't show up in Iran and come and help them as women were being kicked and beaten. Terrible things are happening to the people. Christians are being imprisoned. Pastors are being trying to force to deny Jesus and accept Muhammad's word of Jesus. Deny their faith. They said, we'll let you out of jail when this happens. And and we do nothing. It doesn't look good, church. It doesn't look good if we stay silent anymore. And really, life's not worth living until you found something to die for.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And Jesus died for us. He laid down his life for us. He left the splendors of heaven to come and lay down his life for us because he loves us and he loves the Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to rise up in faith, in love, in truth, and begin to be godly soldiers. Godly soldiers, and I mean that in a humble way. You know, in other words, dependent upon God and obeying him. We hear him and we do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to be the church and quit going to it. Be the church. It doesn't mean you're not going to go to the gathering, but the fact is, take ownership. Realize sin is applicable. Sin is applicable to us. And when you read the word of God, as you be in the church, you start realizing it's not, you've been pointing maybe at your pastor, blaming him or her. You've been blaming your board of directors. You've been blaming your organization, your denomination. But that word of God is written to you.
Right.
And when you make it applicable, you go, first of all, you have a lot more compassion for those who are serving God.
Right.
And you're going to realize, I myself have to do what's right. I've got to make my life right. And it begins, transformation will begin with personal transformation. You have to, you know, Jesus gave it all for you. He gave it all for us. He requires nothing less from us.
Right.
You know, salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. I know that we've been promulgated and saturated with a Jesus light gospel, with things that are traditions and things that stimulate our flesh. And as Kay Chara said in Texas, concerts.
Mm.
You know, I remember, I'll never forget, my first rock concert type feeling ever happened for my kids happened when I walked in the door of a traditional church. It was the music was so loud, you know, and I'm not like loud music now, but it was so loud. I could not even hear the youth pastor who was talking to me. I couldn't hear it.
Right.
And the person jumps off the stage and begins to walk all over the pews. And pews are not holy now. I mean, they're not holy. But the moment, the body was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking over the backs of the pews the way you would a crowd in a rock concert.
Right, right.
You know, and it just stirred all these young people up. And they started saying things like, oh, I touched him. I touched him. I touched him. It's like, oh, my gosh, what have we just done here? Uh-huh. You know, and I was devastated. My all these children's first experience with that kind of, you know, demanded worship outside of God that moved them, all these kids, so much that drew them to, and just, you know, it was in what men call a traditional church expression.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think anything of it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, not good.
Mm-mm.
Not good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's time for us to say, listen, here we are, God. Look, God's so powerful. He is more powerful than anything. But you don't, first of all, let me give you a little clue here. You don't want a speaker system blasting over your house five times a day that the Jesus that you serve is a liar, that the God that you serve does not exist, and that Muhammad is the only one that knew what was right, what God was saying, that you don't want things being broadcasted over your house and your business and your government every single day that says that the God that you serve is not true, and that Israel's to be pushed into the sea, and that even rocks are going to cry out, come and get this Jew out from under her and kill this Jew. Do you really want that? But let me tell you something. If you sit silent, like Dr. Martin Luther King says, if you just sit silent, and when good men do nothing, I think that's what it is, when good men do nothing, you know, that's evil. That's the worst case scenario. And so we have to rise up. First, it begins with us going, Lord, I've done wrong. Lord, forgive me. Wash me. I bought into men's traditions. And then to become, move from a here to a do-do, to move to a here-do. I'm going to do what I hear you in my abiding times with you and what your written word says. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.